he attended an Islamic education program at the Al-Mahriz Institute in Houston. That is the only knowledge of public information that we all have about his reason for visiting here.
Now, in your investigations for U.S. Africa, is there evidence that FBI investigators had looked into the Houston visit before this incident, possibly when Abdul-Muttalib's name was added to the terrorism watch list that may have helped exclude him from being posted on the critical no-fly list?
I'm unable to confirm that security information.
Well, did they investigate in Houston after his father's warning to the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria?
Again, I'm unable to confirm the security information.
Uh-huh. What else can you tell us about what they have found out about the Houston situation?
Of course, there is a tie-in with the Al-Mahrib Institute, which has offices in London and Canada. My office, U.S. Africa, also attempted to speak to the other branches of Al-Mahrib in order to understand why the young man did not do his studies in London or elsewhere but Houston. Who paid or who registered him for the courses? There are so many questions. Who facilitated his movement? Who picked him from his hotel? Who dropped him off? Where did he have his lunch during the training?
Is there any evidence about him attending any mosques in Houston or meeting with any imams?
I asked questions. And I spoke to one of the imams, and he said the same thing. One of his assistants said that they do not keep a log book of visitors or people who attend the masjid, the mosque, that the mosque is open for people to come in and join in prayers. And then I basically reminded them that a template response that appears like, if you will, a non-clarificatory or verbal explanation does not help Nigeria, Nigerians, or the Houston Muslim community.
And what was their response?
The same response.
That they had no information to give you?
Largely nothing other than that the man is not a member of their mosque. If he prayed at the mosque, he would have come as an individual. When I pressed the fact that we were informed that he would have come to one of those mosques, they flatly indicated that no logbook of his coming there, and they do not take an inventory of persons who come to pray at the mosque.
Do you think that Houston and its Nigerian community in particular will be a focus of current FBI investigations about this visit?
It will not be unrealistic, but it will be unfair to group the whole community. The community abhors such violence. The community abhors such what I call mechanized bigotry. And it's understandable to look for those who make trouble or seek to inflict terror to kill people of all faiths, of all communities. The point also is that if his alleged plot was concluded successfully, the Nigerians on that flight would have also been killed.
That's an important point. Do we know where else Abdul-Muttalib traveled on his student visitor visa to the United States in 2008?
I think the law enforcement authorities are still seeking his past terror influences, the oppression of mobility and facilitation for his alleged plot to blow up an aircraft.
And your Houston Congresswoman, Sheila Jackson Lee, is chair of the Subcommittee on Transportation Security and Infrastructure Protection. What does she have to say about the investigation and the placement of new security measures on Nigeria, listed among high security countries now?
I believe he's equally concerned about the safety of every American and its immigrant population. I am meeting tomorrow with the other congressman representing a major part of Houston, including the southwest areas of Houston, the congressman Al Green, to discuss this issue further.
With more than 100,000 Nigerians living in the Houston region, how do you think your community will be affected by these new U.S. travel security measures?
We're getting a lot of feedback on our blogs on usafricaonline.com, on several of our blogs, in a way they're expressing concern that there will be a blanket profiling of the community. In fact, a former senator called me last week, shortly after he saw an interview that an affiliate of the NBC News had with me for the 10 o'clock news, expressing concern that his own flight arrangements were subjected to, in his estimation, undue rigor, that he did not make his flight after all. This is a former senator of the Federal Republic of Nigeria who was traveling from Houston back to Nigeria. And then the regular citizens are equally concerned. I have several electronic mail and text messages from Nigerians who are speaking to the fact that a singularization of focus is important. And then I also spoke with a high-ranking official of the United States who indicated that they are being realistic to the dangers created by Farouk Abdulmutallab's alleged plot to blow up an airplane. And to do this, it will require the enforcement of the law, however uncomfortable it will seem.
Nigeria has already become synonymous with corruption in its reputation. What can be done now to help improve Nigeria's image, now stigmatized by a terrorism label?
It's a reflection also of the incapacitation of presidential leadership in Nigeria. Of course, like yourself, we do not know where our president is. The issue of not having the proper method for articulating Nigeria's interest internationally. They tried what they called rebranding Nigeria. But we need to let the good work of Nigerians also speak for Nigeria. And the fact of the matter is that this is a negative for the country, for all the legitimate emphasis on the fact that this is one man. It does not vitiate the fact, for instance, that there are Talibanist groups, there are sympathizers of Al-Qaeda that operated in different parts of the northern section of Nigeria, especially. And some of them demonstrated openly in support of those who visited Ham on Peoples of the World on September 11th. And these things need to be taken seriously. You know, thousands of Nigerians have been killed from religious bigotry, from violence arising from, in part, the fundamentalisms of some Islamic adherents. And, of course, non-Islamic fellows who have also carried their own theologies too far. So at some point, Nigeria needs a level of engaged, responsible, and effective leadership. Nigerians are worried on two fronts. You know, they do not know where their president is. They do not know where their country is headed to. They do not know whether they will have fuel or kerosene to run their daily lives. They do not know how capable those who are running the country are carrying on. It doesn't look pretty at all.
Nonetheless, government officials are saying that it's unfair to discriminate against more than 150 million people in a nation because of the acts of one person. And Nigerian Information Minister Dora Akunyili is protesting the new security measures. How do you think Houstonian Nigerians are reacting to them, and how do they plan to challenge the ruling with U.S. regulatory officials?
On an intellectual level, it is very wrong to engage in group profiling or to band everybody within one basket. In terms of the operational reality of saying that if flights or certain travelers are coming from any place where there is potential danger, that you take a second look for the safety of everyone, that is not too much to ask. It is an entirely different matter. I vehemently oppose anyone saying that Nigerians are terrorists. No, Nigerians are not. But I'm also realistic to the potential dangers of running a lax enforcement authority. We need not engage in this simplistic argument of suggesting that it is directed at around 50 million Nigerians. Of course it is not.
It's also pertinent to note that Abdulmutallab's journey originated in Ghana, but Ghana was not placed on the high security list. Why not?
Exactly. Even beyond that, Egypt holds a significant number of radical Islamic zealots. Al-Zahrawi, one of the twin leaders of Al-Qaeda, is an Egyptian. There are radical elements in Egypt. They were not listed. So the Obama administration needs to look a little further. I know they are being sensitive to the fact that the young man was in transition movement. The equivalent of comparing Ghana to Egypt or Yemen will be the same as saying that you put the Schiphol Airport, Netherlands, on a terror list. I mean, the number of traffic from that country is outstanding. And sometimes, even personally, I fly through Schiphol a number of times, but sometimes the concern for safety, the hidden massive number of people that go through there, is mind-boggling.
By starting in Ghana, Abdulmutallab was able to limit his time in Nigeria to a 30-minute stopover as opposed to a 2-hour wait that most Nigerian international travelers must endure. Do you see any significance to this strategy in posing a greater danger and threat for air travelers?
The reality is that the terror machine run by persons whose mindsets are largely creative, that you could call them evil geniuses. They take advantage of any and all opportunities and openings. There are loopholes in most security situations. There is no perfect security, as you can imagine. That is what it is.
Now, even if the U.S. security measures do limit terrorists' operations from certain countries, wouldn't it be possible for them to travel from other locations and conduct their operations into the United States?
Evidently, I am not suggesting that, but evidently any human mind is capable of thinking that. Do not forget also that the terrorists who hit 9/11 took off from inside the United States. Will the U.S. enhance security checks at the Boston Logan Airport? Of course they did. Did they enhance security checks at all airports, especially the entry points, Miami, Houston, New York, Los Angeles? Mm-hmm. Of course they did. It is important to know that the United States is protecting its geopolitical sovereignty to the best of its ability. And the economic impact of 9/11 is still being felt still today.